my friends. I'm Pastor Mike Hazelwood with Zion Baptist Church here in beautiful Benton, Tennessee, gateway to the Cherokee National Forest. I want to thank you for joining us again for worship and a message from God's Word. I also want to encourage you to like us on Facebook at Zion Baptist Church Benton and drop us an email and let us know how God has blessed you. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.
All right. As before Joe comes in a minute, I thought I'd take this opportunity to kind of give a little bit of my thoughts about as far as the Gideons go. I remember when I was little, and I'd be at church, and they'd talk about the Gideon getting ready to come speak. There was one thing that I never understood would happen. You'd have a lot of different folks that would stand up and pull out. And I would hear them say, oh, it's the Gideon speaker. You know, that always kind of puzzled me. And then here a few years ago, I got an opportunity to go to one of the members' banquets. And I actually became one of the Gideons. And then I thought, man, this is kind of neat. The dudes that they used to walk out on, I'm now one of them. And so I had one goal. If I ever get the opportunity, I'm going to speak, and I'm going to carry me a slingshot. So that whenever somebody walks out, I'm going to take them out. No, I'm just kidding. But I want you to know that it is a great ministry. And to imagine all the people's lives that are being touched by the Word of God as it goes out. But the unique thing is don't look at them as a soul group. They're an extension of our local churches. That's the key part. And as a church, I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about the people. But as a church, we all need to come together to reach the lost, to come to know Christ. So I won't give much introductions other than that, because y'all know Joe, and we appreciate him. We appreciate him and his wife, Diane, that's been coming and being with us. And we'll turn it over to you, Joe.
Why go to so much expense, so much trouble to distribute those Bibles? This little taxi driver had driven three foreigners and one field rep for a fourth of India around for 2 days. And on Monday, he'd experienced much success in going to many, many schools, hundreds and hundreds of children. But that evening, there was an encounter, and there was a detention of those three foreigners. And seven locals got put in jail. We left that facility about midnight. About 2 o'clock in the morning, we arrived back at the hotel. And the next morning, we conferred with the trustee for the country of Gideon, country of India, and decided some of the things that we should do. But it basically shut that blitz down. God put us where the blitz should have been in prayer. And in a much greater way. And it was remarkable what happened. You see, this cell wall was right behind this wall. You can't imagine what that cell was like. There was no beds. There was nothing where those locals were staying. And but it was a whole experience. But the thing I'm wanting to focus on is what God done with this little taxi driver. You see, on the second night, about midnight, he about fell asleep, and he pulled over and he got out of the car. And after he got out of the car, he walked around and he woke up a little and he got back in the car. And he said, "Why do you go to so much trouble, so much expense to distribute these Bibles?" Praveen, the field rep, was prayed up. He said, "It's like this." He said, "If you had a neighbor who had a deadly disease and you had the cure and you wouldn't give it to him, what would you be like?" This calm, collected young man just exploded. He said, "Why, I'd be the worst person on earth." And said, "There'd be none like me." Ravine said, "Exactly. said, sin is a deadly disease. And so we have the cure. What he meant, we have the message from God. Jesus Christ is the cure. He didn't twist his arm. He sent that Bible home with him and let him read. He came back the next morning and he said, anybody that opposed the distribution of this book is either evil or crazy. But you see, it was Friday morning before someone was able to be used by the Holy Spirit to reach this young man. And in that culture, he was able to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those locals, while they were in that jail, they confronted people about sin. And four individuals came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in that cell because of that. And those officers that confiscated those Bibles, they got to take them home and read them so they could see what we'd done wrong. Satan thought he had us whipped. But look what happened. During that blitz in three cities, we had a goal of 400,000 scriptures. We got 459 going to all kinds of schools. 555 schools and educational facilities. The Gideons is simply an association of Christian business and professional men and their wives, the auxiliary. We organize by forming local camps. And we do not become members without the approval of our pastors. So we come from local churches. It was actually pastors that requested that Gideons place Bibles in hotels. About 100 years ago, a little over. Gideons were already fellowshipping and encouraging each other to do personal witnessing. And we continue to do so today. Because our single objective is to see men, women, boys and girls come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are trying to do for you to take God's Word to the world as efficiently as it possibly can be done, because it's God's way that it's been organized. It's gone from five countries in 1949 to 200 countries today, delivering the gospel in over 90 languages to the peoples throughout the world. And it costs $1.25 for you to get a testament in somebody's hands. Hotel Bible is $5 on average. That is amazing that covers the cost of the scripture predominantly and the shipping cost in mass quantity and customs or anything like that, because the locals, anytime we go, any of us go, we pay our own way. It's totally out of our pocket. And we do this because it gives you the opportunity to participate and to reach out. To place Bibles in hotels has been something that's been known for the Gideons. I think that's what we're recognized for. But really, it's much more. But I want to tell you about Tom Moore. Tom sat down not long ago with a friend, and he noticed a Bible, Gideon Bible, sitting there, and he told him what a Gideon Bible meant to him. You see, back when he was years ago at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, there some of them decided that they had 3 days off and they were going to go party. So they went and rented some motel rooms, and Tom stayed in one for a good while before he got a knock on the door. And you see, he'd been reading that Bible, and he knew he had to make a decision. Was he going to go with those buddies, or was he going to stay there and read that Bible? He told them to go on. He stayed there and read that Bible. And then you see, about the wee hours of the morning, there was another knock. North Carolina State Troopers. They asked him, did you know this one, this one, this one, this one? These four friends. Said they've been in a car accident. Said they're all dead. We've got to get there in time with those Bibles. Those Bibles, this is Dr. Close putting a Bible in a motel room in India when we were there. But those Bibles, whenever we're done with them, they're not disposed of. They're utilized in hotels. I mean, not in hotels, but in prisons. And I want to tell you about Ralph Reagan. Ralph, it would be a long story to go into all his situation, But it was amazing. He got to the point that his wife kicked him out. Said, "Ralph, said you're no good. Don't come back." He went to his mother. His mother said, "Ralph, you're no good." Kicked him out. He went soon to the jail cell. His younger brother said, "Don't expect no favors." Said, "You're no good." But some Gideons came and brought some of those used Bibles. They offered him one. He said, "No, I'm not interested." They went to the next cell and he overheard what was happening. And when they came back by, he requested a copy. And as he read that copy, because there was just a little bit of light, certain time of day, that he could read that copy of God's Word, he eventually came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. When he finally got out of jail, out of prison, whichever it was, he got out, he started a ministry up here in Crossville, Tennessee. He stood just over 2 weeks ago, 15 days ago, and shared with us how that he had now baptized over 11,000 people. And you know what else? When he got back out of that prison facility, his wife had a husband. His children had a daddy. It makes a difference when you get a copy of God's Word. When we have a blitz is nothing more than when Gideons come together and we assist each other in focusing on a certain metro area. And this particular one was in Chattanooga in March of 2015. We're organized. There were over 200 auxiliary and Gideons that came to Chattanooga for that blitz. And we had a kickoff meeting. We spend every morning in prayer at a blitzes. We spend Saturday morning in prayer in our local camps. And we are encouraged to pray each day. And during that blitz in Chattanooga, they got to go, well, in Polk County, it offered the opportunity to go and give the large print testaments through the chaplain. Okay, those large print testaments got sent in hundreds in teams that went up to the Bledsoe complex where every inmate that goes into the Tennessee system, they go through that Bledsoe complex. And but there was a team that was sent to the Bradley County Jail. And at that Bradley County Jail, they had a whole lot of inmates that wanted to know, and they had one-on-one decisions to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But when they got to G-Pod, the men said, "No, we don't want you to come in here. No, forget it. We're not interested." So they had circled, and the lady officer joined hands with them, and they had prayer. And after that prayer, she said, "I'm going to make an executive decision." Said, "If those men are going to tell you no, they're going to tell you no to your face." So they went in G-Pod, and four in G-Pod come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior right there in the Bradley County Jail. And you can see what happens when they get a copy of God's Word. Our ladies, our auxiliary, are so special. They got to give to the female inmates. Hospital testaments. It was so amazing to see personally God open the doors to all our major hospitals in Chattanooga, every one of them, even with the HIPAA laws. God done it, not us. And why do I think about hospital testaments being so special? I think about Shaguri. Shaguri was a Muslim. He was in the country of Indonesia. And he went and visited a Christian hospital and he picked up a testament. He took it home and his family was discouraging him. Don't read that false religion. And he came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Some of them kicked him out, had nothing to do with him, tried every way to hinder him. But you know, he went on and went to Bible college. And after that, he became a minister. Some of his own family, his brothers, received the Lord. His parents quit going to the mosque. But he went and became a minister in an area where there were a lot of prostitutes. He had about 125 attending. And many of those prostitutes came to know Jesus because of that testament. The one that sent that testimony in was a gentleman named Hosey. And I got to work last fall with Hosey, putting Bibles in the hotels around the Knoxville airport. And Jose Gaires was 78 last fall. So this was a time back. But God works the same way in these hospitals. That's why I was excited about it. Jose was in charge of many of the countries in the Pacific region. And yet he was still enthused about the ministry. So these hospital placements were so special to see our auxiliary helping us. And you know, when they went to the hospital staff and they took these little white testaments with them and they distributed them, you know how many they distributed in Chattanooga and parts of six adjoining counties? Over 12,000 copies, one-on-one, to over 900 medical facilities. We are so thankful for our auxiliary. You can see what happens whenever they get these witnessing opportunities. And it's not just here. That's in the country of India. That's just one example of all these countries around the world. And this is in a hospital, 12-story hospital, in Guadalajara, Mexico. And we had the privilege of working with the ladies that week. A couple of us did. And it was exciting to see them go through those hospitals. This was actually the national auxiliary president in the country of Mexico. And she was right there on the streets, and I was handing her copies, and she was handing them out. And those doctors, they're interested. And you see, they're really wanting a hunger for God's Word. They're wanting to know. They're interested to get a copy. And it's worth it, because God's Word will not return void. These are the ladies that gentleman Mo High and I got to work with that entire 4 days and that week. We've done some other things on Friday. This is in the country of India. This is a picture that I can never get out of my mind. How essential it was that the ladies helped us to actually get into those hospitals, because you can see what they were doing. And when we went in those hospitals, so many people wanted us to pray for them. The gentleman on the left of me there is a young man named Haki. Haki was from Finland. He was in India with us. He's a hog farmer. And he didn't speak much English. About all he would say is, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." About every time you was around him, he'd, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." Haki was special. But you see how Haki came to praise the Lord? He was in the military. And he received a copy of God's Word as we go to the military and all these countries, every avenue that we can. And countries and territories and where we're at. So he got that testament. And for a year, he would read it behind the newspaper, because he didn't want anybody to see him reading that testament. But after about a year, he made a decision to receive Christ. And it was so evident when we got to work with Haki what had happened to him. You see Haki there praying for a lady that was in her terminal stages of TB. How'd you like to be following vehicles, that trucks that had these men in them, and them stop and get out and start walking up and down the streets? This happened in Mexico. Two out of the country and two from in the country. And when they came down the street, those two locals, they jumped out and they grabbed the car or the trunk and opened it up. And they gave them a testament, and they gladly received instead of pulling the trigger. It was encouraging, because that was an impromptu distribution. But we try to go to fire, police, and EMT and make a scripture available to them for you. That, I think, played a part in us getting, because they kept saying they didn't think we were going to get into the prison there. But there were eight that went in and gave out 8,500 testaments in Puerto Grande prison in Guadalajara, Mexico. I want to tell you how God works. In Chattanooga, whenever it was time to approach UTC, brothers had gone here and there, and they finally were directed to go up to a lady in the administration building. As they walked by the main office in the administration building, this gentleman stepped out and looked at these men passing by, and he said, "Can I help you, gentlemen?" And one of them told him what we wanted. And he said, "That might not be a bad idea." It opened the door for as efficient a distribution as you could imagine, UTC in Chattanooga. Yes, we want them to get a copy of God's Word. Why are college testaments so important? I think about a young man in the country of Germany. His dad had a PhD in philosophy. At age 15, he asked him what was the meaning of life. But he never could find the answer. And he got at a university in Hamburg, and he received a testament. He set it to the side, but he found a Christian friend. And that Christian friend was going to a church. And he invited him to go with him. But he told him, said, "Now when you go," said, "you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to be a slave to Satan or a child of God?" He went back after that service. He picked that testament up, and it didn't do him any good to be in college for the next 3 weeks because he read that testament. He read it and he read it. And when he read about the prodigal son, he said, "I want to become a child of God." So those college testaments. When we were in Monterrey, Mexico, this is, it happened so many times at a college. Satan will have you move down the street, move down the street. The authorities keep moving you down the street. Well, that's what happened here until we got where God wanted us to be. And it was at the metro station. We stayed there all day and they all kept coming by us. And what a wonderful opportunity. It was God orchestrated. There's no question. And you can see what was happening. Boxes were being opened and students were being given a copy. The man you see over there in the corner, he witnessed to a young man there, and it's a tremendous testimony. And the young man, after he received Christ, turned and offered his girlfriend, who only spoke Spanish, a testament, and started witnessing to her. You can see our team leader there. But you look down from that three-story metro station and you could see what was going on. Do you see? They were reading those copies of God's Word. And you know what's going to happen in the country of India there. Look at who's receiving a copy of God's Word that you sent for $1.25. Actually, it's less than that in the country of India, but that's an average cost. You can see what a difference that it's making. This is an experience that I will never forget. It was on Valentine's Day morning. In Monterrey, Mexico. And as we were there between two technical colleges, I'd spent a long time and finally got someone to relieve me at a corner. And they had on Valentine's Day, they had a Mexican musical hall thing going on. And this kid's all out in the street. And I just focused on one individual and went down the street and approached him, this little young man. And offered him a testament. He reared back and said, "I'm Catholic." Said, "I speak no English." Oh, what's this country boy to do? I didn't think the bigger guy would even take a testament. But you know, he had served some time as a Christian missionary. And together, we were able to go over scriptures. And that young man came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. No doubt about it. And we got to talk to him for about 20, 25 more minutes about living a Christian life. And then, a very short time later, I could not speak Spanish, but God got it across. A short time later, I encountered this older young man that was willing to receive a copy of God's Word. He couldn't speak hardly any English, and I couldn't speak hardly any Spanish. And so, all I could do was direct him to verses and ask him if he would read in the plan of salvation in the back of that testament. And I would take that verse, and as soon as he got done reading it, I couldn't understand what he was saying. I knew what the verse said. But then I'd ask him, says, "What does that mean to you?" Went verse by verse by verse. And that's all I'd done. God was doing the work. The Holy Spirit was dealing with his heart. When it came time to really get down to the nitty-gritty, an ENT doctor, Dr. Contreras, was standing there beside us. It's how God works. This young man came to know Jesus. He signed in the back of that testament. here on that blitz, we had men from five countries, 22 of us working with many locals. It's normally what we do. And there's Brother Matt. I was talking about on the tower. He's a Marine from Virginia and retired out of the Marine Corps. And there, that's not just a distribution. Those were two men, young men that had already received a testament. And they was coming back, and they were wanting to ask questions. And at the same time, they had peers there jeering and taunting them and saying, let's just go on. But no, Matt was able to lead Raphael and Arthur to a saving knowledge of Jesus. The Great Commission, when you look at this kind of a number of people, it begins to start to sink in what an immeasurable task that is to achieve. But you know, God provides. Look what an immeasurable task. This little team, it took us till probably 10:30, 11 o'clock to really get started going. But this little team was able to hand out almost 10,000 testaments to school kids that day. Brother Paul from Australia, Brother Sonny was the field rep of the southern 1/4 of India. And Dr. Gabriel on the right over there is humble a man. All of those people in Chennai were just so humble and wanting us to be the ones that hand them out so they would assist us. The others were drivers of the vans that were carrying the testaments. You can see how they assisted us and how we got going and how we would hand those testaments, not set them on the table, but hand them to them. And what was happening? Here's Brother Bruce Condry. Brother Bruce is a retired colonel, but he's also worked for many years as a consultant to the Army. And he spent full workforce, and yet he served as our state president for 3 years. He's now served time as an RFO. That's a regional field officer that goes at his own expense and works from 2 to 4 weeks a year in foreign countries to help camps in those lands. Brother Bruce told me over a year ago that he'd been working in Guana and he'd been to Monkey Mountain. At our convention 2 weeks ago, he told me, he said, I've been to China. I said, Bruce, how'd you get from Monkey Mountain to China? But you know, it's so amazing that God uses people like this who humble themselves and make themselves available. And they're out there for you also to reach out and to give God's Word so that lives will be changed. How do I know that lives will be changed? Of course, Isaiah 55:11. But here in India, we were doing a school and we found another school behind that one that wasn't on the list. And it was a bunch of boys running back to the facility, and we went back there and I actually spoke to them. And I asked him, I said, do any of you, when you get a little older and you get out in the world, do you think you're going to have any problems in life? And he just kept looking at me, and finally one of them raised his hand, and another one, and another one, and another one. You see, they were handed a copy of God's Word. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that those lives will be changed. What a difference it makes. See, those young men were just one step away from going to prison. That's the kind of facility they were in. Look and see. When you looked into those children's eyes, it never did get out of your mind. It never has. It stays there every day. Some of them had desks. Some of them, their classroom was on the floor. This is not a recess. This is a classroom. Yes, we love to go to students. You may even recognize this one. This was during the 15. And I'm sure that you'll recognize this one because one of the men that's in this picture is in this room this morning, in this church right here with us, Brother Wilson Rogers. And this is right up here at Benton Elementary School. She has ownership of that testament now. Why does that mean so much? Because I think of how this young lady, where Randy Crow came into a meeting one time. He was our state president at that time. There was about 15 or 20 of us in there, and it would be a meeting that lasted about 6 hours. He slammed the door shut, and when he did, he started singing. He said, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." He could sing. I can't. But those words stuck in my mind. You see, Randy was RFO. He has other responsibilities now. He's RFO down in Bolivia and Peru and in that area. And Carola told him how that she had received one of those school testaments. And 5 years later, after she kept reading, her life was changed. And she and her husband were serving time as Christian missionaries because they got a copy of God's Word. That's the reason these school testaments are so important. These young people is a big part of the testaments that we give out. Yes, in this Gideon ministry, we pray. And we're going to ask you to pray for this ministry. Why is your prayer requested? Because it brings results. It makes a huge difference. Your prayers do. It's essential. Think about praying for the situation in Indonesia where churches are being burned, where Christians are being persecuted. Where last November in Jakarta, Indonesia, as the Muslims were having demonstrations, the Gideons had 25 church services, or 28, in that city that same day. And they received $7,500 to buy testaments. You see, they do all they can. And we need to do all we can. I'll go into why here in a minute. But I want to remind you of the card program. What a blessing it is to pick up one of these cards out of the rack. And send it to someone and express yourself. And then give the money for the Bibles to Sean or Wilson or Tim or any of the Gideons that are here in this church. Give the money to them. It's going on to internationally. It's going to buy scriptures. It's a sure thing. But why use this card program? Now think about Amanda Sullins. Amanda was wanting she got saved at 7 and she wanted to be a missionary to China. She was a student, she read and she learned, but you see, she had cystic fibrosis. And Amanda died at age 13. Her desire had been to go to China. But now I just mentioned, Bruce, I know 4 men that have been in the country of China. There's over 3 million copies of God's Word have been handed out in China, in churches, legally. And then those people, they first face persecution as they go out. And some of them profess Christ right there in those churches. You see, Amanda, his memory memorialized, but also she's now able to go on to China. Why do we want to ask you to give? Because there's open doors. David Fong recently sent in a report about how he had gone to Cambodia. And there in Cambodia, he told us how that they were able to go into school after school after school like we were in India. And yet those students, 95% of them were Theravada Buddhists. 95%. And they gave them these testaments in the Khmer language. And you know, they gave them to students that had never even seen a Bible. And they took those Bibles home and they were able to give them to their parents and let them read them and their siblings at home. Just giving them to the fifth grade. What a miraculous way that God has opened doors now in 200 countries around the world. But why have they never seen a Bible? Let's look at it this way. Those without a copy of God's Word, we can talk about 5 every 2 seconds, 91 million. You say, oh, there's no use in sending more. Let's think about the numbers. That's less than 13 copies per every 1,000 people on the face of the earth that we sent out last year. I think God still has the proof is there in Cambodia that we need to do. We need to give. We need to sacrifice. We need to consider Him that endured, Jesus Christ, on the cross. He endured for you. He endured for your family members. He endured for precious ones like these that are around the world that are waiting for you to sacrifice yourself, self needs, and give so that they can have a copy of God's Word. Yes, together we can go. Together we can go. And when we go, we can rest assured that one day, when we see Jesus, it will be worth it all. Thank you, Zion Baptist Church. Thank you, Brother Chris, for this privilege. Thank you, Pastor Mike, even though he's not here, for being here today. This is a wonderful privilege.